The Bardavon continues the Hudson Valley Philharmonic's 56th season with Bernstein's Kaddish, directed by music director Randall Craig Fleischer. The performance is this Saturday, April 16th at 8 o'clock at the Bardavon Theater in Poughkeepsie. Renewal is the theme of the program, featuring a rare chance to experience Bernstein's epic monumental work for a large orchestra, choir, and soprano with narration by Academy Award-winning five-time Tony nominee Estelle Parsons. In addition to the Oscar and the Tony nominations, Parsons is an American Theater Hall of Fame honoree and is acting artistic director at the famed Actor Studio in New York City. It is a great thrill to welcome her back to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Joe. It's wonderful to be with you.
Always love talking to you. So my understanding and from what I know is that this is not your first time being with the Hudson Valley Philharmonic.
No, I did Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream with them a few years ago. Yeah, I love them.
So how
I love
did,
Randy.
How did this particular production come about?
I don't know. When I went to rehearsal, Randy said, "This is your piece. You were made to do this piece." And Chris said, "You were made to do this piece." So I guess the two of them decided I was made to do the piece. So let's hope I deliver the goods, right? Woo-hoo!
Do you feel the connection? Do you see why people would say that?
Oh, my Lord. It just jumps off the page. It's so terribly exciting. It's got a lot of anger in it, and I'll admit to the same thing. And anger at God, anger at everything, you know. It was dedicated to Kennedy after he was assassinated, and Bernstein was very upset and agitated. It was in the 60s. It's interesting to me now that the world has gotten so violent that a lot of people kind of knew where it was going, knew it was going into a whole new violent phase. But I don't want to get off the track here.
Did you know Bernstein at all?
No, I didn't really. I was working so much trying to support my kids in the 60s and 70s. I didn't do much but work, though. So those whole years, I missed a lot of living other people were doing.
But you do.
But of course, I'm a huge admirer of his. Who wasn't? And this piece is just amazing. You know, there's a wonderful thing in the second movement of this piece. Musical chaos, eight separate groups singing eight different ideas in eight different tempi. How do you like that?
That's pretty great.
You won't hear that very often. In fact, this is the least performed of any of his works. I'm so upset we only have one performance. I think we should try to do it kind of forever, you know. It's just so astonishing and just wakes you up to a whole new level.
And as far as the narration, is it constant or is it just in one part of the piece?
No. It's not Shakespeare, you know. It doesn't go on forever talking. There's a big piece and then the music comes in and then in the second act. It's not an act, you know, the second movement and all these eight groups singing eight separate things. And then out of that comes this haunting soprano melody. And then after that, I come in a little bit. But it's in a short burst. It's not long enough to be boring. You should excuse the expression.
That's a very fair expression.
He supposedly was inspired to write it because his wife was doing Honegger's St. Joan at the Stake. And for me, that does go on a little too long. So he sort of learned his lesson, I guess, from hearing that.
The last time I spoke with you was over at Williamstown Theater Festival. You were there for two productions this past season.
And
you said, you know, you had just finished a run on Broadway and you were gonna relax and not do anything. And then that opportunity came up and I said, so what is next? And you said, well, hopefully I'll try to relax and not do anything. Have you been successful in that?
No, I haven't been successful at all. I'm doing a huge program at the Actors Studio called Theater and Social Justice this year, with an Irene Fornes play, Mud, and Rhapsody in Black, which is a racist piece a black guy wrote. He's now taking to festivals all over the world, Sweden and all over this country and everything. And then another lot of short plays that I've commissioned. So I, and Stephen Adley Gerges's Last Days of Judas Iscariot, which now we're taking out of the studio down to La Mama next year. It's been such a terrible crowd. No, wonderful, terrible crowd pleaser. So I've been terribly busy, and Israel Horvitz wrote a play for Judith Ivy and myself, which we are doing May, June, and July down at the Cherry Lane in New York. So you see, I'm just stuck again. Now, next year, I'm going to keep clear. So there.
I'm not sure I believe
you. But it's like tomorrow, you know. Next you never come. No, I'm excited to be busy. You know, I think Freud said love and work. So I'm doing okay in both departments. Been married to my darling husband for about 43 years now, and work constantly. So I'm a very happy person, and go to the gym every day. I must say, you got to keep moving. That's the important thing.
Let's talk about Israel Horovitz's Out of the Mouths of Babes. It seems that a pairing with you and Judith Ivy would be pretty sublime and perfect.
You know, it's just hilariously funny. She is such a wonderful performer, and I don't like anything more than being funny and having people laugh. When I was doing Miss Margarita's Way one day, a man in about the fifth row fell right out of his seat into the aisle laughing, and that was, for me, heaven. I thought, gosh, it can't get any better than this. I love it.
Was the last time on Broadway in Velocity of Autumn?
Yeah.
Would you like to do that again, or is eight shows a week a bit much?
You know, that particular play I was kind of glad to be rid of, because it was a person who was getting dementia, and at the time I wasn't altogether sure whether I would ever get it or not. So I'm pretty sure now that I won't. That's not really fair to say, is it? But I'm knocking on wood all the time I'm talking to you. But, you know, my mind remains terribly exciting to me. So, but I didn't like going there eight times a week.
Yes.
Bound to make you feel bad. You know, some plays are like that and some aren't. Like August Osage County, where I played this terrible drug addict, but it never bothered me. I played it 2 years. But I found every performance of The Velocity of Autumn really, really hard, because it was, you had to go there, and it really is a, you know, a terrible place to go, particularly when you're old.
Well, with Violet Weston and August Osage County, you did the Broadway and the national tour.
I did. I did a year on Broadway and a year on tour. Oh, that was heaven. I love to tour. I mean, this country is so incredible. It's just wonderful to wake up in a different city every week. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Do you...
And those movie palaces they built in the 30s?
Yes.
You know, with gold lions in the lobbies, and when you get out in the Midwest and so... Oh, whoa. It's just incredible what has gone on in this country. And it's just wonderful to roam around all the time. I love it. It's heaven to me, roaming around all the time.
Talk to me a little bit about your work with the Actors Studio, and especially with theater and in regards to social justice.
Well, you know, yeah, in regards to social justice, what we do is we do a play, and then we have experts. Like when we do the racist piece, Rhapsody in Black, with Leland Gant, then we had this wonderful social psychologist from Princeton, Stacy Sinclair, who came, whose field is implicit bias about you're racist and you don't even know it. And you don't know you're racist, but because you are deep down, you can pass it on to other people. It's terribly creepy and interesting stuff. And the reason I wanted to put these plays this year into an umbrella was that New York is full of people doing plays, right? I mean, full of groups. There's a new group arising every minute, or every graduating class of actors in New York, because
yes,
there isn't enough work. So I thought I want to tie this all together and give people a big package. So you're not just coming to a play, but you're coming to a play that stimulates you, like Irene Fornes' Mud is about poverty and illiteracy. It's an astonishingly wonderful play. And then afterwards, we had like the global expert on hunger. And the guy who wrote Let Them Eat Promises, the story of hunger in America. So you tie everything up into this package and give the audience a chance to talk and get into the conversation. So it's worked amazingly well. We're sold out all the time. It's wonderful. We have one more to go, which is about community, which is actually what David Brooks is writing about in his column today in the New York Times, the fact that we don't have communities anymore.
Right.
So, and I think next year we're going to do a short series on theater and the environment. But it's just a way to give people a little something more, I would say, for their money. But, of course, everything's free at the studio. So, but to put theater in a context of your life and why it's important, like this piece about poverty and illiteracy, is we're sending it to Chicago and L.A., but aside from that, we're trying to have a program with all the law schools in New York City so that these people who are learning and going to have to deal with this kind of people and this kind of problem are getting a chance to see what it's really like, because theater can give you that opportunity. So we're kind of bringing art into the law schools to, you know, help them have compassion when they get out, that kind of stuff. Very exciting to me. I have to go back to acting. I don't know how it'll be, but I do love to make people laugh, so it'll be okay. And I've got another big comedy or two for next year already, but I better not say that because, gosh.
When you look at the state of, let's just say Broadway, and a stray play on Broadway, like The Humans or Frank Langella in The Father, these are,
yeah.
Even The Crucible, these are obviously big shows with huge ideas, but at the end, the audience is often just left a shell of themselves to give them the opportunity to go just a little bit further to discuss how they're feeling and what they can do about it.
Yeah.
I mean, are there enough opportunities to do sort of the next thing, to do what you're doing, basically, in other shows?
You know, we feel at the studio that we have really deep acting. We're inspired by Marlon and Kim Stanley and Jerry Page and all the Paul Newman and Joanne, all the wonderful people who came through there. You know, we feel that we do a kind of acting that you're simply not going to see by some visiting film or TV star on Broadway, that we're really giving, we are trying to give, and with the stuff that we open, we think we are giving a really profound theatrical experience. We're entertaining, we're educating, we're edifying, we're really giving you a theatrical experience, and it's a unique experience in one's life.
You must be.
I had one guy come who was homeschooling his kids, and this was part of their homeschooling situation. I've had that happen twice to me at the studio. It's very exciting. And that's what we think we do. We think we go deeper. We go deep, and we want to be great. So when it all begins to click, you know, then we open it to the public and want to share that with them, because they won't see that kind of work somewhere else. It might be Al Pacino, but it probably won't be. He and I did, you know, two or three things together there a few years back. But it's wonderful actors, and there's not enough work now. When the studio started, everybody was working, and they needed a gym to work out in. Now there's not enough work, and there are so many actors. So we're opening a lot more to the public than we used to, because the actors really need to be in productions. And so we're having a lot more productions. They're not productions for us, they're projects. They concentrate on the acting, not on million-dollar sets and stuff, you know. I call it sort of my poor people's theater, because I like to use for the environment whatever we have around the studio. You know, I don't like to have designers taking up a lot of money and buying a lot of stuff. I like to make everything out of what we have. And the actors then, you know, contribute their imaginations. And the audience is dying to use their imaginations, let's face it. That's why people go to the theater. So we try to give them an experience they aren't getting other places, and it's free. So,
how do young actors come to the studio?
They have to go through a series of auditions. And once they pass all the auditions, then they're a lifetime member. And there are no dues. We just raise money the way we can raise money one way or another. And then they get to just have a community their whole lives. It's the only place like that in the world, really, and there are no rules. There's an empty space, and you are expected to bring your creativity to that empty space. So there's not picking up the phone and saying to a producer, oh, yeah, I'll take that part. You are supposed to look at that space and imagine what you want to do in it and get up and do it. So, you know, it's like it's an artistic endeavor, rather than a commercial one, like artists have a, you know, blank piece of canvas or whatever some artists do, you know.
Do you teach?
And it's wonderful. We have a wonderful multicultural group now, and we're doing a lot of Stephen Adley Gerges' play, which they're really strong pieces, and they're not done awfully much because of that, but they're wonderful opportunities for the kind of acting we do, so... We're busy, busy. And it's great because, you know, otherwise, what are you going to do? Sit home and wait for the phone to ring. Well, that's nice once in a while, but it's wonderful to have a community with other people just like you, you know, and whacking away at things.
Well, Estelle Parsons will be a part of the Hudson Valley Philharmonic's 56th season.
Oh, yeah.
Bernstein's Kaddish, which will be directed by Randall Craig Fleischer, this Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Bardavon Theater in Poughkeepsie. Estelle Parsons, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh, it's wonderful to talk to you. I hope everybody comes. It's going to be so exciting.
A great pleasure.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, Estelle Parsons will be at the Bardavon Theater in Poughkeepsie this Saturday, narrating Bernstein's Kaddish. You can find out more information by going to bardavon.org. Bardavon.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.